And now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
...2008. The prequel trilogy is over, and millions of fans are left without Star Wars. Enter a brave group of Jedi, led by Dave Filoni, who brought tales of the Jedi, clone armies, and Mandalorians to Cartoon Network, thus keeping hope alive in the galaxy. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi!
Hi everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of J-Guys and Jedi, a weekly podcast covering every single episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. In this episode, R2-D2 and his team must stop a sabotaged Jedi cruiser from destroying a crucial Republic conference. They will be Lola Bunny from Space Jam, Gascon's sort of okay now, an awesome explosion, awesome, like really fucking awesome, and R2-D2 is the hero of Star Wars again. Once we're talking again. We're talking about the point of no return this week. How you doing, Chris?
Oh, thanks for asking. Hope I got the flu.
I know, we were talking about that. You know, sniffly.
Yeah,
you're so peppy.
I am drinking caffeine tea with a lot of honey in it. Mm. I'm definitely on the downswing of being sick and the worst thing about it is you're going to hear I sound a little probably more nasally than usual.
Honestly, like, we have so much pollen here, like, everyone sounds nasally right now.
Right.
So I wouldn't have noticed it. I couldn't tell you were sick until you told me.
I got everything I needed to get done this week done today while I was sick, all the while thinking, yeah, just you need to take it easy.
And, way to go.
Yeah. But I was taking it. That's the thing. Somehow it all got done, and I got to do it taking it easy. And sleazy.
Well, that's Yoda.
Easy.
Oh,
sleazy.
Man. Is Yoda going to be sick today, too?
Oh, man. Well, we'll see how Yoda sounds today. Maybe Yoda will sound even extra Yoda-y, and, you know, maybe it'll just give it that extra 5% of swamp that makes it even more Yoda.
We'll see.
We'll find out. If
I do my normal Yoda verse, it's just like, but if I hold my nose so it's nasally, it goes.
All ask real nice and tap their heels together. Maybe Yoda will come and visit us this show.
You look in the mirror and say it three times, Yoda, 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 and he appears behind you.
Oh.
Like Beetlejuice, 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 Beetlejuice.
Or the Candyman.
I just read the stupidest thing that they're turning Beetlejuice into a musical, like a Broadway musical.
It had a lot of musical elements to it, and it's a Tim Burton movie, so it's bright and showy. Tim Burton movies border, even the ones that aren't, he's done quite a few musicals, and even the ones that aren't musicals border on it, so it's perfect fodder of it. You know, that reminded me, I thought you were going to say a cartoon, and because there already was a Beetlejuice cartoon, and it was great.
I remember commercials from it, because I've actually technically have never seen Beetlejuice all the way through. I've seen, like, parts of it, but I've never sat down and watched it the entire way through.
My favorite part of Beetlejuice is just the football players in, like, the processing area, and they just look at their coach and they're like, "Coach, are we dead?" Just with this, it was just this perfect, like, bland, dumb question, and the coach looking at him just like shaking his head, "Coach, are we dead?"
I have to say for this episode, and I'm saying it now so you can hear me when you edit it.
Okay.
I'm choosing the song for the opening
episode. Oh, excellent. I'll cut this out so they won't know. Or they've already heard it, so now they'll know you get credit for it.
Because the name of this episode is Point of No Return. My God, please play the Point of No Return from Phantom of the Opera.
Okay. You got it.
Pass the point of no return.
It's already happened for all the listeners.
What?
It's already happened for all the listeners. Now they've heard it, and they've heard you sing it.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
That's okay. No, hey, it's called a running gag.
Yeah, so I'm excited. I was like, the moment I was typing Point of No Return, I was just typing going, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I was like, yes, it must be Phantom of the Opera. Original Broadway, original cast. Original cast is best cast.
Okay.
None of that.
Noted. Duly noted.
None of that. Who was it? Christian Bale? No Christian Bale shit. What, did Christian Bale play him?
I hope not.
Phantom of the Opera movie. It was the movie version. Who played the Phantom? Was it a film? 2004 film. Oh, God, it was 2004? Fucking
it. Wow, it doesn't seem that long ago.
No, it was Mr. Sparta himself, Gerard Butler. Gerard Butler played the Phantom.
So
please,
no,
not that
no
version.
Gerard Butler is what you're saying?
Yeah, Gerard Butler played the Phantom. I forgot Minnie Driver was in it. Yeah, she played Prima Donna. So, yeah, please make my musical weeaboo inside me happy.
I'm not a fan of Andrew Lloyd Webber, Hope.
I will say, and I'm fully aware of this, that it's a musical about cats. And that's it. And there's no plot to it.
Cats,
but
you mean?
Cats has a very special place in my heart, well, even though now that I'm older, like, I fully understand how bad it is.
Well,
but,
I'll say this in defense of cats.
But wait. The thing about cats is it was my first exposure to live theater. And it's what gave me my love of theater. So now that I'm older, I look back on it and I'm just like, cats. Oh.
He was
I'm
working with existing poetry, so that helped it a lot. And,
yeah.
And I'm talking specifically first Phantom of the Opera. Because the main
Phantom theme
in his Phantom of the Opera is, as I shall illustrate now, as we're listening in the background, you'll hear the Phantom of the Opera theme. And then you can hear Pink Floyd's Echoes, which, you know, came out probably 15, 20 years before that. Basically just grabbed the main theme from Pink Floyd's Echoes and made it into his Phantom theme. So now every time people hear the Pink Floyd, they go, oh, listen, it's the Phantom of the Opera music, and I want to punch them.
So
and
isn't it where if you line up the wall with Wizard of Oz, it narrates it perfectly?
And Dark Side of the Moon.
That's what it is. Dark Side of the Moon, not the wall.
No,
but
if you put the wall
up
to, if you put the wall, if you played the wall with the Wizard of Oz, it would line up in eerie and amazing ways. That's how music and edited video work.
So if Phantom is taken from Pink Floyd, if we line Phantom up with Wizard of Oz, it would line up perfectly.
Maybe you would want to line up Phantom, I think, with Stanley Kubrick, the end of Stanley Kubrick's 2001, because they have.
Making a joke.
Well, they've also they're like Wizard of Oz. They have taken Pink Floyd's Echoes and lined it up with the end of 2001, A Space Odyssey. It goes together eerily well. But I'm getting to where my personal grudge with Andrew Lloyd Webber is where he stole one of my songs. And it's now touring around the country in a School of Rock musical.
Wait.
Yeah.
Like a song you wrote?
I wrote a song called Fuck the Man many years ago. About, you know, the man with a capital N, M. You know, the man that runs the world behind their shadowy cabals and smoke-filled, cigar-filled rooms. And the new School of Rock musical, which is wretched, by the way, has a song called...
That's a good movie.
Yeah, and if you go even backwards from the movie, there's a great documentary on the real guy, too. And it's like, when you watch the real documentary, it's like, okay, here's the gritty truth. Then you see the movie, and it's like, here's the movie as you would present the story as a Hollywood movie, you know?
I have to say, I like the movie, but I also have a soft spot for Jack Black.
Jack Black's really good, and I mean, the movie is really good, and it's a Richard Linklater movie, too, and he's a really good director. And then you take the musical, and it's even further, you know, just like, it's got that, basically, it's got a song in it called Stick It to the Man,
mm-hmm.
with a bunch of kids singing it to it. And for one, when you say Stick It to the Man, that's... No, it's you have to say fuck the man. It has to be transgressive if you're dealing with the man, even if it's little kids.
You want to know the most surprising part of this entire story? I didn't know Andrew Lloyd Webber wrote this musical. Oh my god. I did not realize he wrote it. It's so, like, not Phantom or Cats. Or
no,
Evita.
And my roommate worked as a dresser on that one. That's why. And she would come back and she was like, "You have to hear this song. It's totally your song, except rated G, and stripped of all edge to it." So
I put my
cigarette out in Andrew Weber's forehead.
This is so not Jesus Christ Superstar.
Jesus Christ Superstar. You know what? I kind of like Jesus Christ Superstar. I saw a production of that when I was a kid because we had a local theater, you know, the Carthage Little Theater, and they were pretty good. There were some people on it that were really good, and they did this production of Jesus Christ Superstar once, the town went nuts, you know. It was, like, sold out, and they added shows. So they just did it, like, 3 years in a row because they put on it had strobe lights, and everybody was really good in it. The same thing happened with Fiddler on the Roof. When they did Fiddler on the Roof, it was a smash. It was really good. I remember seeing Fiddler on the Roof, and to this day, I had to be, like, 6 or 7 years old. To this day, I remember, like, the story of it, most of the songs. So, but yeah, and even the movie Jesus Christ Superstar, as cheesy as it is kind of fun to watch.
And so, to bring this back full circle, Andrew Lloyd Webber also did Wizard of Oz, a new run of it.
Oh, well, I'll skip that. I don't know.
Well, anyway, are you ready to get on to the episode?
Yeah. Yeah, now I'm more fantasizing about hunting down and stalking Andrew Lloyd Webber, but I could do Clone Wars.
I just imagined you showing up in like a phantom mask and being like
Webber.
A phantom mask and a guitar, and you're just like, "You stole my song, bitch."
Want to hear a song, Webber? I know you've already heard it.
But you like swing down from the chandelier of a theater. You're just like, "Wee!"
Let's just say, I don't know if you've seen the movie Phantom of the Paradise, Luke Giaconetti's favorite movie of all time.
No.
It's a rock and roll version of Phantom of the Opera.
No.
With Paul Williams in it and directed by Brian De Palma.
No.
Oh, yeah. No, it's wondrous. You need to go watch that. It's great. That's what my revenge will be more like, Phantom of the Paradise.
One of my greatest upsets of my young life is we took a school trip for Chorus to New York, and we were supposed to see two Broadway shows. And the first night we saw Julie Taymor's The Lion King, which was brilliant, by the way. Like, the puppetry and costume work in that show is so good.
Right, and the dancers and all that, that's Rochester, New York. That's the Garth Fagan dance. Garth Fagan's the one who originally, I think, did all the choreography for that.
But, the second night, we were supposed to see Phantom of the Opera on Broadway when it was still running, but the actors went on strike, so we weren't allowed to see it. And I was like, you know, now that I'm older, I understand actor strikes and in writing strikes and why they do it. But when I was 14,
at that point, yeah,
I was 14 and I was devastated because Phantom was my favorite musical at the time, and I was just so upset.
No, you need to see Phantom of the Paradise. You will love that movie. And talk about music. Basically, Paul Williams is everything that Andrew Lloyd Webber would love to be. Paul Williams gets in my Hall of Fame because he wrote every song in the original Muppet movie. So, bingo, bango.
Bingo, bongo.
That's a musical right there, folks.
I don't know. I have to say, as trashy as it is, I'm a fan of Muppet Treasure Island because Tim Curry as Blackbeard is
wonderful.
Yeah,
we talked about that in our favorite Pirates part, and I need to write that down because I have not seen that one. So
it is cheesy as hell, and it's like borderline bad, but it's still really good.
I'll probably cry all the way through if anything with the original Muppets. I just get so like, this is so beautiful, Jim Henson. I love you.
Scott
Gardner. He took me with the first time he took me to Disney World. We went to the 3D Muppet presentation. You know, it's a movie, but it's in like super 3D and stuff. And like tears were just running down my face because it'd been so long since I saw the real Muppet. You know, something new from the real Muppet. You know, the real Jim Henson and Frank Oz, and it just had that Muppet Show feel to it. Was beautiful, and I'm just like tears streaming down my face. We walk out, he's like, "Are you okay, man?" I'm like, "I'll be okay." That was beautiful.
I will say my favorite joke in that, well, it's like a double-layered joke. So at the beginning, like Captain Kermit is like doing a roll call of all the men on his ship, and he's just like, "Jim, here, nearly dead Jim, here, dead Jim," and he like starts looking around, he's like, "Dead Jim." And someone has a skeleton, they're like, here. And then later in the movie, after a fight, they're like, Jim is dead. They killed dead Jim. And they're like, but dead Jim's always been dead. That's why he's called dead Jim. Oh, and they throw him overboard. It's such a good joke, and I love it. Clone Wars.
I miss the Muppets. On Clone Wars, I miss the Muppets.
I'm sure you didn't like the Muppet reboot show they did a couple
years
ago.
Now I'm a combination of angry over Andrew Lloyd Webber and sad over the Muppets.
Well, then let's make you happy with a
sangry.
Mediocre.
I'm Hope, I'm sangry.
Then we'll make you happy with a mediocre Clone Wars episode.
Yeah, it can only go uphill even with guests gone.
What if Andrew Lloyd Webber wrote a Muppets musical?
No.
Yeah,
but maybe it might liven up A Sunny Day in the Void, maybe. A little song and dance here and there wouldn't have been out of whack with the rest of that episode.
I just imagine Gonzo being the Phantom, but his, like, nose doesn't fit under the mask. So they're like, who is that mysterious man? And it's clearly Gonzo because his nose is sticking out of
I would say he would build a shield that's the exact shape of his nose to try to conceal
his
nose.
Oh, my God,
nose.
He looked like a plague doctor from the medieval times. Ugh, ugh. Clone Wars!
All right.
Ugh. I just imagine like the monstrosity of Gonzo as a plague doctor in the medieval times. Ugh. All right, Clone Wars. The Point of No Return is the 100th and first episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars and aired on January 12, 2013. It was written by Brent Friedman and directed by Bosco Ng. Some extra information for you. According to the official Star Wars The Clone Wars Facebook page, the destruction of the Venator-class Star Destroyer near the end of the episode was the biggest explosion they had ever animated up to this point.
The most virtual dynamite they ever had to use.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Well, we both have notes on that explosion. It was so good. The Corrida system was first appeared in the 1994 novels of the Corrida system first appeared in the 1994 novels of the Jedi Academy trilogy. The look of the Valor station was inspired by the departure station seen in Star Tours: The Adventure Continues ride. And the display table seen at the strategy conference is an octagonal design inspired by the circular table seen at the Rebel base war room during the Battle of Yavin during Episode 4. And finally, fucking Tarkin Farkin makes an appearance in this episode, and BT Dubs, he's now an admiral. He's so young, but he's now an admiral, so since the Citadel, he's gone up in rank as Farkin. You know who also Farkins everywhere?
Hello, like country boy.
Oh my god. I still try to block out that story from a certain point of view.
Everyone knew about Tarkin. Mm-hmm. Everyone.
Tarkin, Yoda!
The space J. Edgar Hoover was Tarkin. Everyone knew.
Oh, Yoda, you sound a little sniffly.
Yoda's got a little swamp fever.
Aww. Well, we'll just keep you a short time today so we can tuck you back into your swamp bed and you can Ooh. Make as many, like, swamp Dutch ovens under there that you want. Swamp Dutch ovens. What's the plot of two, Yoda?
You must trust in others, or success is impossible. In bed!
You know, that's like half right, because if you're trying to have sex with somebody, you do need to trust in another person and have a second person there. Mm-hmm. Or you can just use your hand.
I mean...
Or your, like, toys.
What is success in bed, anyway?
I don't know.
It's a subjective term. And it probably means something different every time.
I mean, I'm single, and yeah, I have the right gear to have success in bed. It's fine.
When you're single like us, Hope, success is just getting in bed with somebody else.
No,
or just getting in bed.
It's not being single. It's as old as we are. Falling asleep and having a decent 7 hours is success in bed.
That is success in bed. Oh,
if
it
I
is.
Can get... 7 solid hours of sleep, that's bed success for me. Totally. Because we're old asses.
Oh,
I was like...
Listen to you. You're the kid on the show. You're the one that they're always like, Hope is the voice of the young. While Chris is the voice
moment
of the
I
senior
turned 30,
nerd.
The moment I turned 30, I was like, I can't have coffee after this time, so I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight. I have to, like, stretch every morning, or I'm going to hurt like an asshole. I slept last night and somehow fucked up my shoulder. I don't know how I did it, but my shoulders hurt all day just from sleeping.
That was me every night. That was me every night, but now that's all over.
Because you stole a mattress, Chris.
That's another story. You might have to stick around past the end of the show to find out about why I never have to worry about my shoulders again.
Oh, guys, for real, like, wait until after the credits. Chris was telling me how he stole a mattress, and it's great. But yeah, it'll be after the credits.
You put
please.
It that way. I said, I don't think I used the word stole.
Huh.
Stealing,
I say stole,
took.
Chris used moment of opportunity.
Yes, I'm in possession. If I was not in possession of this mattress, it would be in the landfill right now. So that's just how I'll put it.
You're
so,
just doing your part to save the environment.
I am, as always.
You greenie.
I'm diligent.
Greenie.
My kitty's treats are called greenies.
Ah, I'm familiar with greenies. When I had a kitty, my kitty was quite a fan of greenies.
Yeah.
I used to go across the street to the pet store to buy him greenies all the time.
So, Yoda, you better be careful. My cats eat greenies.
Mm-hmm.
I actually watched my cat eat a frog today, so
greenie
it's fine.
Greenie is a very bad slur in this galaxy.
Whatever species you come from. It's a very bad slur for my species of unknown origin.
I don't like when you call us greenies.
That's okay. My cat ate a frog today, so...
Someday Yoda will reveal the name of his species on this show.
I want to know.
Canonical it will be.
I want to know. Alright, so Act 1?
Act 1.
Act 1.
Yeah, let's rip into this rip-roaring mediocre episode.
Seriously, the last, like, 2 minutes...
It kind of is, actually, though, in a way.
Yeah, it's not as good as last week. It's better than the first two.
Yeah. I'm not really going to get down on this one much relative to some of the other ones in this arc.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right, Act 1. The last few weeks, R2-D2 formed the D-Squad of droids to go on a super-secret mission to steal a Separatist encryption module. The team consists of QT, Goldie, Greyjoy, and WAC-47. The leader of the team is not R2, but a stupid frog-faced fuckboy named Colonel Meeber Gascon. We don't like him. Just listen to the last 3 episodes. We hate this bastard.
Boo.
Anyway.
Boo. Boo.
Oh, okay.
Boo.
I wasn't sure.
Hiss.
Hiss. Boo. Anyway, after a week on a Separatist ship, a week where nothing literally happened for 22 minutes, and a week meeting a super interesting clone just to watch him get blown up, the D-Squad hops on a Republic vessel that might actually be sabotaged. On to this week! They take their Republic ride to a Republic cruiser above Abafar, which is mighty shady since Abafar was a Separatist-controlled planet. Of course, Gascon doesn't think about that at all. Both WAC and R2 are like, something's not right here. But Gascon doesn't want to hear their gosh darn belly aching because he's eaten and all he's eaten in days is trash, and he hella wants a promotion. As the droids roll off the shuttle, things are super sketchy. There's no crew members, there's no shuttles, everything is dark, and no one is there to greet them. They roll onto the bridge to find it full of clones. Gascon snoots off about how he's great, and he wants a parade. But when he hands the clone the encryption module, it goes straight through the clone's hands. They're all holograms. The cruiser jumps to hyperspace, meaning that someone is navigating the ship besides the fake clones. QT peeks down to the control level, and there's battle droids and a tactical droid. R2 attacks, and they flee out of the bridge. Racing down the hallway, they fight their way to a control room where a detonator is stored. They get a moment to regroup, and Gascon goes, I think their ship is controlled by Separatists. Thanks, Captain Obvious, R2 snips back, and they realize the entire ship is a bomb, as it's filled with explosive gas canisters that was being loaded on in last week's episode, and they realize that they're in deep shit. I just realized something that's not in my notes. That's later on in the episode. So why do they even have fake hologram clones? Because later in the episode, when the Jedi try to call the ship, no one answers in the fucking first place.
Maybe just in case to buy a little time if somebody comes on board, like they sort of did. I mean, it sort of distracted the droids and Gascon for a minute, you know.
Okay, I'll take that answer, because I was wondering that as I was reading it.
That's the only thing I could think of. Otherwise, it was just basically more, I think it more just sort of worked as a creepy little effect. Because I love the opening shot. There's just an opening shot of their ship, like, arcing up to meet the ship. And, it's just a really neat Star Wars shot. And then when they get on, instantly it just has the feel of like a ghost ship.
Yeah.
And it reminds me a little bit of, I can't remember the name of it, but it was, I didn't read it, but I listened to the audiobook, and it was about Han Solo and Chewbacca. It was about somebody else finding it, but Han Solo and Chewbacca ended up being in it. But it's basically a Star Destroyer that got some sort of basically zombie virus. So it was...
So the Ahsoka episode with the zombies?
Yeah, so it was a whole Star Destroyer full of zombie stormtroopers that it was somebody with a lightsaber, and Han and Chewie have to fight their way out, you know. So it's a zombie story in space. And it sort of reminded me of that. And I like the thing that... And here's the difference between having droids and a biological is the droids are like, they don't get hungry as much. Although they got hungry in the last one and needed to, like, power up. So actually, so did Gascon. So there's a running theme about these guys' stomachs. And Gascon didn't really get to eat except for a couple bites of garbage anyway. So his already questionable, you know, decision-making process is now hangried up. You know, so
Gascon is hangry. Just give him a Snickers.
Oh, by the way, extra point for Hope for using the word snoots in her synopsis there.
Snooted at them.
I'm
listening. I actually just listened to the episode the first time I said that, which was the first Saw Gerrera episode, because I'm a little bit behind listening to our episodes just because I was binge listening to Whiting Wong's for like 9 episodes. And then I was like, I need a break. I don't know why I'm making peace signs like Ronald Reagan right now. But I was listening to our first Saul Gerrera episodes where I first was just like, and Saul snooted at him. And you're like, that's such a good word.
I'm like writing it down in my notes. I'm like, remember snooted. I got to use that all the time. It's now in my Webster dictionary in my brain.
You snoot. It's such a good word.
Fits in Clone Wars because you got snips, and now it's like snoots, too.
He snoots.
So I only have one other note, and that's the semi-obscure, really obscure when you think of Clone Wars target audience gag in this one. Joke reference to another movie. And that was Whack trying to pick up the detonator, or he was trying to pick up something. He goes, I got it, and then he drops it. He goes, I don't got it.
Yeah.
What movie is that from? I know you probably have not seen that. There's really no reason you would have ever seen this movie.
That reference has been used so many times in so many different movies. So tell me.
Unless it was a reference in this movie, I think it is from the Mel Brooks parody of Alfred Hitchcock movies called High Anxiety, which
I know of it, never
movie.
Seen it.
It's if you're a fan of Alfred Hitchcock, it's great. If you're a fan of Cloris Leachman and Harvey Korman, also it's great. Cloris Leachman plays a nurse that is like this, like bondage. Turns out she's like this domineering German bondage woman with a big wart on her nose, and it's just a pure Nurse Ratched. Or wait, no, what is it? No, Nurse Ratched's from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Nurse Diesel, that's right. She's Nurse Diesel. And she speaks out of the corner of her mouth. It's just, oh, it's wonderful.
No, I got it, has been used so many times. Like, I remember, like, Bugs Bunny cartoons using it.
Oh, okay, so then that was, those were definitely before High Anxiety.
Well, I was about to say, like, you know, that's such a joke that has been used with so many different things. Like, I've seen a very similar thing, like, I got it. Or, like, in, like, sports movies where they're like, I got it, I don't got it. I mean, that's just one of those, like, cultural, like, jokes that, like, Luke, I am your father, which Vader never actually says.
Actually, he did. That's the Mandela effect. Some of us remember it right, some of us don't. All right, guys, here comes another chance, and this was in 3 episodes ago. You're going to get another chance to hear the patented Honeywell nose blow.
I just blew my nose too, so it's fine.
Splendid tonality and deep baritone.
We'll do it at the same time because I
wish I had the big old veiny nose of my grandfather. Maybe one day I'll grow into it. No, you gotta use it like a horn, like a conch shell. Listen.
I can't. I know. I only have like. You sound like one of those dying, screaming chickens. Those rubber chickens you squeeze them?
I feel like the kids in the, what the hell was that book where they all worship the pig head?
Oh, Lord of the Flies?
Lord of the Flies, yeah. I'm
God, I
the
hate that
shell
fucking
on,
book.
On Lord of the Flies. One of the first books I ever read.
I hate that book. It's not a happy book. Well, that's the thing. Like, I liked it, but then my 2 favorite characters died, and I was just like, this is dumb, and I'm 14. Ugh. So I don't have a good experience with that book when my favorite characters die.
Poor Piggy.
But you sounded like, have you ever seen those rubber chickens and you squeeze them, and when you release them, the air goes back into them, and they just go,
yep.
I hate those things, because when I used to work at Spencer's, we sold them, and so for 8-hour shifts, kids would just squeeze the fuck out of them.
The new thing now is people attach them to people's exhausts on their cars.
My coworker actually just showed me a video of like someone squeezing one and tossing it at his coworker, and he kicks it over a shelf. So all you hear is.
There's a guy who made a keyboard out of them too.
Oh my god!
You can play the keys, and they all yeah.
All right. Well, I only have a few notes with this section. My first note is, oh my god, I just love battle droids. Like, when they're carrying the thing, and they're like, lift with your legs! Lift with your legs!
Yeah, like they're gonna get spinal damage or something like that. I guess they could wear their hydraulics and stuff, so.
But it was just so cute, they were like, lift it with your legs! And he's like, it's heavy! So also, this opening act proves why we don't need Gascon in the first place, because R2-D2 leads them and gets them out of there all by himself.
Yeah, I would have preferred it if it was all the... It would have been a nice twist to have all the droids have to do everything visually and not have, like... They would have droid dialogue.
We've said that for 3 episodes now, that this arc would have been great without Gascon.
With just the droids communicating to themselves, yeah. I would have liked
that. And Wack there to be our translator.
Oh, shit, that's right. I forgot about Wack.
Oh, yeah, because we did decide that we'd rather have Gascon over Wack last week.
We don't need either of them.
No. And my only other note was, if Gascon has had a space platitude for his own, It would be, hubris makes you dumb as fuck in bed. Because, like, it takes him way too long to see the warning signs. Because they get to the ship, it's dark, no one's there. No one's there to greet them. It's a fucking ghost ship. And he's just like, this is normal. It's fine. And then I'm sitting here going, last week, Gregor's like Mr. Borkin's boss, specifically told them, hey, that shuttle is going up to that cruiser up there, and it's going to explode. And I'm just sitting here going, does no one remember that from last week?
This is the problem with these weak arcs in Clone Wars, is you end up, and I'm trying to remember specifically which one there was. There was one with Anakin. I believe it was Anakin in it. No, it was in the Mortis arc. The Umbar arc. What am I thinking of? We're basically...
Are you calling the Umbar arc a weak arc? How dare you?
No, but it was one that sort of... Actually, it was a strong one that played the theme over and over again. Actually, it's a bad comparison because this was more like... Basically, Gascon learns the same lesson every episode of this, you know? Every episode of this, he gets a new respect for the droids, but he doesn't keep it till the next... when they come into the new episode, even after all his experience with the droids, he's back to being a dick, you know? And he's back to being irresponsible and dismissive of them. And then by the end of it again, he's just like, you know what? You guys are all right, you know? And maybe it has something to do with his eating habits. I don't know. Maybe he's...
So if we gave Gascon a Snickers, he'd be fine?
If R2 was just, like, dispensing Snickers to him every couple hours, he probably would have been a lot stronger leader. But he's sort of like, you know, it's sort of like the same lesson every time of, like, you know, Gascon getting some respect for the droids who he basically just said were machines, you know, and only followed programming, and you know, and that gets dispensed with right away at the beginning, and then every episode after that. So it's Chris, sort of the same character arc over and over again.
I know you're sick, but if you ever say that Umbar is a weak arc, I will fight you.
I basically took it back. It's a bad comparison, but it was also the same sort of the repetition of something four times in a row.
That is the best part of Clone Wars, and we even debated that it did it well, repeating the same thing four times.
I'll use it as the mirror image of this, the worst arc in Clone Wars.
Okay, the best arc versus the worst arc. How to repeat the thing?
At least as far as you're concerned, I can't say until we're done what the
worst arc is. I'm actually very interested.
It's the worst arc so far for me, though, for sure.
Oh yeah, like this is my least favorite. But I'm actually really excited for when we reach the end of Clone Wars. I would love to do like a series overview just to pick out like our favorite arcs or stories.
Yeah,
and just see what your favorites are, because I promise you after this, it's just go, go, go awesome from here. Like, go, go, go awesome.
I'm going to have to do some serious work because it was like, it's been like a couple years now from the earliest episodes.
Oh, I know. I'm going to have to go through my notes too. Though I will say, like, I'm very, very excited because I really want to watch, like, the eight unfinished episodes that I've never seen, and I can't wait to get those, like, by Utapau.
That's interesting, yeah.
I know, because I know their basic plots and stuff, and I know one is Utapau and one is the Bad Batch, and I know the basic plot of the Bad Batch, but I've never actually watched them, and I'm so excited about it. So excited! Ah! I'm going to have, like, episodes of Clone Wars I've never seen, and I'm stupid, stupid excited.
You're going to be just like me.
I know. I can't wait. Mostly like you, because I know the basic plot of Bad Batch. So, all right, well, Act 2.
Act 2.
Gascon has no fucks to give about this bomb thing. His mission is complete, so fuck whatever else is happening here. You know, heroic stuff, where the hero doesn't care if other people are killed, because he is good now. And the droids argue that the ship could kill thousands of lives. But Gascon wants no part of it, giving the order to evacuate. A little rabbit droid is watching them, but R2 spots it. He takes the rabbit into custody. By the way, the droid is actually nicknamed Bunny. Should I whip out a 22-year-old reference from Space Jam and call her Lola Bunny? Yes, I will. R2 takes Lola Bunny into custody. You know, it pissed me off. Okay, side note, everybody, side note. So, like, Space Jam, because it had its 20th anniversary a couple years ago, has
never
come back to the main... it's... you're fine.
That's what
you're
I've
fine.
Heard. I heard it didn't age well.
You're very fine. But part of the reason it didn't age well was because somebody collected all the times that Lola talks, and in the course of the movie, she talks for, like, 2.5 minutes. That she's only, like, has speaking lines for 2.5 minutes. And it's... Somebody made a collaboration of, like, all her speaking lines, and, like, 4 of them are repeats. And I'm just like, I loved her as a child. Like, I loved this character. And I'm like, she only spoke for 2.5 minutes? That's bullshit! This movie was like 1.5 hours! Ugh! Anyway, Lola Bunny. Lola explains that all the people on the ship was killed. And she's actually a Republic droid, everybody, just so you know. I don't think I mentioned that. She was scared to talk to the D-Squad until she could trust them. Now she hopes that they will take her and all of her friends with them. Gascon is relieved that there are other Republic crewmen on board. Meanwhile, the super tactical droid sends out a buzz droid to find the D-Squad and get rid of them for him. Lola takes the D-Squad back to their shuttle, where the rest of the Republic crew is hiding. It's more droids, and Gascon is super excited, aka upset, that we didn't save Gregor last episode, because now he has to hang out with more droids. Lola is able to steal the coordinates for the Separatist target. The cruiser is heading for the Corita system to blow up the space station where the Republic Strategy Conference is being held. Just about every important Republic person will be there. Gascon realizes that if all the important die, no one will give him a promotion. He is ready to act now. They have to stop this ship. They spot the buzz droid, and R2 attacks! And they race after the quick little devil, chasing it into a cannon room. Cue the Akbar, because it's a trap! Anyway. The silence that followed Chris was great. They are surrounded by buzz droids. Dozens of them. And as I've been reading the Thrawn novel, there's a lot of talk about buzz droids, mostly because of the material they're made of, but in this case, it showcases exactly what buzz droids do. They're made to rip droids and starships apart, and the droids swarm the D-Squad and their allies. R2 springs into action, dropping oil and everything, and he lights those bitches up, making a literal firewall around the D-Squad. But more buzz droids are zooming in. Gascon has no idea what to do. His quiet ride, the entire arc, tells him to get out, and Greyjoy has a plan. He tells everyone to hunker down and magnetize their feet, and he beelines for the airlock. Popping it open, Greyjoy gets sucked down to space with all the buzz droids. Goodbye, Greyjoy. You are a good minivan for Gascon. R2-D2 gets the door closed, and they're safe. They're all safe in the moment. Gascon, who wanted to leave Greyjoy for dead in the first episode of this arc, says a few kind words because of course he does. But it's a surprisingly rousing speech, so whatevs. Time to stop the cruiser from blowing up. What do you think of Act 2?
Well, it was pretty good. It was probably the best part of the whole episode, and maybe kind of the best part of the whole arc, except it doesn't have Gregor in it. But
I will argue for me. Act 3 is the best part of the whole arc, but this is a really good arc, too. I had some pacing issues with this episode.
Well, I'm just talking about this specific part had some neat, interesting things going. We got another shot of Farkin. It had a little 9/11 feel to it when they're heading towards, basically full of explosives heading towards the building.
Oh, I did not get that. I see it, but wow, I did not go there.
Gascon... super coward, because as soon as they realize the ship is full of explosives, he should realize they're going to plow it into something, because if they just wanted to blow it up, they would have just blown it up a while ago. You know, they just would have put the explosives in it and blown it up. They wouldn't be piling it through hyperspace somewhere. So he, right off the bat, he should have been like, "Yeah, we got to blow this up or whatever." But he comes around pretty quickly, and we finally have a little payoff to something, a little, something that makes something in the first part a little better, where Wack actually saves the day by just automatically taking over and piloting the ship, you know, and doing something.
Mm-hmm.
So that sort of pays off at the beginning when he screwed up, and I was just like, what is wrong with this guy? I would have turned him off, because if he's a droid just making autonomous decisions outside of his commander, that's dangerous. But this time he saves our asses with it. So that's a nice payoff from the first episode. And then my only other note is, man, I love the shot. The explosion is amazing.
We're not there.
What? We're in part three, right?
We're in part two.
Oh, we were only in part two?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I'm giving my notes for part three.
Oh, that's why I was
love the buzz droids.
Like,
I got more notes.
I was thinking, when did Wack fly the ship in this arc? I was like, did I miss that part of the episode?
Yeah, Gascon's speech is pretty nice. That's a pretty nice speech. That was well worded. So that was a nice little payoff. Oh, my God, I'm getting so ahead of myself trying to. So this part, the buzz droids. At first, I was like, okay, why doesn't this one buzz droid have a radio so when he first sees him, he can buzz up to the bridge and say, I see him, you know? And then when they blew them out into space, those buzz droids, they can magnetize themselves too. We saw that in episode 3. So I don't know why all those, like half of them might have gotten sucked out, but the other half would have battened down and just grabbed. They're made to grip onto the outside of a spaceship that's traveling along like it is now. So,
plot.
Yeah, yeah. But that's all I have for part two and part three.
No, we can talk about the explosion when we get there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We'll have the explosion. Yes, you're right.
Well, my notes is, Gascon is not a hero and should not be classified as one because...
Here.
He just, when they first discover the bomb, he just doesn't care. And he doesn't care that the ship's on its way to kill a ton of people until he realizes the people that get killed will be the people who promote him.
Yeah, he's just in the self-interest. Yep.
I have to give the Separatist props on this one, though, because this is a clear suicide mission. There's no reason they should have living people on the ship to do this mission. So that was a smart one on the Separatists to just fill it with droids to do it, because they don't care if they get blown up.
And,
maybe
that was their way of getting rid of Gascon, too.
Yeah. And I must say, I like this because Wack is the least amount of annoying in this week.
He's decent this week, yeah.
So when they find Lola Bunny's friends, I don't know what kind of droid it is, but it looks like a stick on top of a Roomba.
Yes, yeah, they had a bunch of them on. They're like tech droids, you know. They had those.
There's one funny little bit where it's stuck outside the door and it's just like repeatedly running into the door frame because there's a lip at the bottom of the door that it can't get over. And I found that so funny because it just crosses its arms. Just runs into the door multiple times, looking so done. He's like, oh, I'm stuck, 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 stuck. But then I started thinking, why would they build it that way? Because
no, they wouldn't. They'd, all that stuff would be made to move through everything. Yep.
And because I was like, what if someone was having a heart attack in that room and that little droid is the only one that can save them, but he can't get into the room? Why would they build a door like that?
Yeah, they wouldn't have lips on any of the doors. There'd be no reason for it.
I will say I have been on a real Navy ship before, and they do have like – oh, hold on for a second.
Well, yeah, but they don't have roving robots with wheels in Navy ships either.
Yeah, so like I can understand them wanting to make ships like that to be like really like proper to like the Navy ships, but then like their droids can't get through.
I mean, literally droids are part of the ship. You know what I mean? They're part of they're the crew of the ship, but they're sort of like the mechanical aspect of the ship. So it would seem like, you know, I could see how some droid you would have droids that might be more designed to go into the ductwork if they have to, and they're that size. But it would seem like all the corridors of the ship would be wide enough to accommodate every kind of thing you do, because they lift heavy machines. You know, they have stuff like, you know, that's lifting stuff that weighs tons that they have to drive through stuff. And him being a tech droid, you would want him to go almost anywhere. So, yeah.
So I would just
plot device.
But I did like the little, just the image of, like, when he hits the doorframe, he just crosses his arms and looks so upset and just repeatedly runs into the door.
Yeah.
It was a fun little gag. I like the little cackling the Buzz droids have.
Yeah, they're maniacal. Like, the little, like, yeah! They were like that in episode 3 too. They're little spazzy maniacal things. I like it.
They actually remind me a lot of the turrets in Portal, like with the "Where are you? Are you there?" Like, and I was like, "Ah, it's like Portal." Okay, so I'm going to talk about Gascon for a second again. So I'm all for character development and, like, a character changing over the course of an arc. But because the previous 3 episodes, we've seen him change and then go back to his ways, like, Gascon, while it was a good speech, it was a really good speech and stuff, I just don't feel like that moment is earned from the previous 3 episodes.
No, but it's his responsibility to do that speech, so he did a good job. You know, he fulfilled his responsibility to rally the troops and did a good job of it, but... Yeah, I don't believe him.
Yeah, because the thing is, it's like we saw in the very first episode, Greyjoy got fried and Gascon was ready to leave him. And R2 was like, "No, we can fix him. We're not leaving him." And he's like, "Fine, just bring him.
No droids left behind."
I would have much rather just have it be something like all the droids, like, raise their little rocket boosters and, like, make a little flame in honor of him. That would have been just as nice.
Maybe they'll mount a mission back upon the hyperspace route to see if they can find him floating around out there.
Yeah.
And maybe not.
That's a lot of space. They go a lot of distance in, like, a second.
Right, so, yeah.
And my only other note, because you were saying that this was your favorite act, or Act 3 was
act
your favorite
three
act.
Is that...
Oh, okay, never mind. My only thing is, up until the point where they hit the Buzz droids, the pacing just felt a little slow, like when they found Lola, and Lola was, like, showing them the droids and explaining what was happening. Like, I feel like they could have cut Lola completely out and all the other droids and still done the same thing, because they could have accessed the ship and figured out the plans. And, I mean, I honestly think R2 could probably figure it out. Just, you know, they find the detonator and R2's like, beep, 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 beep. And Wack goes, "What do you mean there's a conference that we're heading towards?" Or blah, blah, blah.
Right,
so,
right.
So, like, just the pacing in that section just felt really off. It was just very slow. So I'm glad the Buzz droids showed up, because there's just other ways to give us exposition that's a little bit more active than having a little rabbit droid talk to us. But fun fact, Lola was voiced by Catherine Tabor, who is the voice of Padme. So,
oh.
Yeah. She was voiced by Captain Tabor. Well, that's all I have for Act 2. You want to get to Act 3 and get your last note?
Sure. Yeah. I got to get to that last note.
I'll give you your mistake this time because you're sick, so I'll give it to you.
Thank you.
You're
yeah.
welcome.
I know you were commenting on how peppy I sound, but it's just a front, Hope. It's just a front.
See, I'm the exact opposite. Like, when I'm, like, sick... I'm a total whiny baby. Like, I can have the sniffles.
Oh, I can get that way. I have to be really bad, though.
I just with the sniffles, I'm just like, I'm dying. I can't go to work. Leave without me.
I walked a mile for a burrito today, so I'm on the tail end. I'm on, like, after the fever has passed, and, like, I just looked at my roommate, and I'm like, I'm going out to get something. And, like, I was picking up something from the store, and I'm like, I may not be back for a while because I'm going to find some large piece of food and just destroy it. So, you know, my body's on the upswing, I guess, now.
See, if I have the sniffles, I, like, lay in the shower like I'm dead.
If I'm bedridden sick, I'm a whiny little baby, and I've done a lot of, like, with my bad back or other things, I do a lot of laying in the bottom of a shower, quivering in a fetal position, going, "Why? Why, Lord?
Take me now.
No.
I see you up there, Jesus. Jesus, why?
Fair.
Take the wheel, Jesus,
no.
Mary, and Joseph on a bicycle.
No.
A tricycle.
No, 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 utilizer.
I made myself laugh, it's fine. All right, Act 3.
Act 3.
Okay, new plan. Gascon and the D-Squad will get the injured droids back to the shuttle. R2 will reprogram the detonator to explode early. They hope that they can all get back to the shuttle and get off the cruiser before it explodes. And break! R2 speeds away. The D-Squad is found by battle droids and run for it. One of Lola's friends is caught in the crossfire. Oh, it was the Roomba stick droid that was caught in the crossfire that I loved so much in the last act. And Wack has to save his new robot girlfriend. The cruiser pops out of hyperspace at the Karita system. Looming in the distance is the space station where all the important people are hanging out. Anakin is pacing around the space station because meetings are boring and he is bored. And Obi-Wan gives him a coloring book. But Anakin notices that one of the cruisers is coming in a bit too fast. Pretty fast. Really fast. And they try to make contact with the ship, but no one is answering. And fucking Tarkin, aka Farkin, is concerned. And they scan the ship and see all the explosives and stuff. And they realize it's a bomb. Back on the cruiser, the D-Squad make it to the shuttle. We'll make it to the hangar bay. But the battle droids show up. Luckily, all the explosive gas is behind them, so the droids have to be careful how they shoot. The D-Squad makes a break for the ship. Goldie and Gascon fly at the battle droids to distract them so the rest of the droids can break for the shuttle. R2 arrives at the detonator, but the super tactical droid has already armed the detonator. It's a swatting match as he tries to bat at R2 like my cats will bat at a shoestring. I wrote bats like I own bats. I wrote bats instead of cats. I know.
It's like my pet bat cats at a shoestring.
Yeah, like my cat bats at a shoestring. Gascon and Goldie fly up to the observation window and sees R2 in trouble. Wack takes control of the shuttle's guns and fires on the battle droids. Gascon finally has a good idea, saying that they will go back for R2. No one gets left behind. He must have really liked that gray droid was his minivan. But Wack doesn't get the memo and takes off without R2. R2 beats up the tactical droid and reprograms the detonator to go off with him still on board. Explodes and wave after wave of blasts radiate out, smacking the space station in a rainbow of fire and hue. Debris pelts and slams into the Republic fleet, tearing into the other ships. Things are damaged and breaking on fire, but for the most part, everyone is alive. Gascon calls into Anakin, telling him what happened, but Anakin finds out that R2 was on the exploded cruiser, and he loses his fucking shit! Out in the debris field, R2 floats broken and sparting, with no quote-unquote life in him. A salvage ship finds him and brings him home. After some handy-dandy rebuilding, R2 looks like he's going to be okay. Anakin is over the moon relieved. The D-Squad rolls in, excited that their real leader is okay. Gascon dotes on R2 and all the D-Squad, saying that he's proud to serve with them any day. Wack is extra excited because Gascon got promoted alright, and he gets the punishment he deserves because he's now the commander of the D-Squad for the rest of the war. Yay! Yay, the end! The end!
That was a great explosion in this part.
Jesus Christ, it was.
I like the explosion, but I like the waves of debris even better. That was really well done, very Star Wars-y, and they made it comedic at the same time while it was just very visually impressive.
I liked the, you could tell, every time each wave of Sonic would hit, Sonic Blast would hit, because they got hit with the first one, and some of them tumbled back, and then they all came forward again, and they got hit again, and they came back forward, and then they got hit again! Like, that's so real life, because, when a bomb explodes, multiple blasts, especially one like that, it's multiple waves of Sonic Blasts. It's not just one at a time, one big one. And so it was so realistic, and I just loved, each one that hit them. The clones got smacked back, and then smacked back, and then smacked back again. It was great. It's so pretty. It's bright. I loved it. The explosion was my favorite part.
Hope I dreamed up another note for this part.
What?
It's sort of a theoretical question for you.
Okay.
But I think this fits. I made a little connection here. Well, you know how Vader and Tarkin end up being best buddies in the Empire.
Yes.
Do you think maybe... Now, I'm not saying nothing happened, but do you think maybe Tarkin might have been creeping on Anakin a little... Either creeping or crushing on Anakin a little bit? Because Anakin's a farm boy, right?
God. As you were halfway through that question, I was like, And that was the first thing I thought of. He's like, and I was like, Chris is going to ask me something about making, like, Tarkin super gay and a creep. And I was like, no, no, he's going to ask me a serious question.
Yeah,
and then you
think
asked
about
it.
I think this might be some subtext that they worked in there that, like, Tarkin, that was why Tarkin was, you know, with Vader was just like, you know what, I really respected you, and damn, you were, yeah, I like those farm boy types from the Outer Rim.
I don't mean this to sound callous, but I think possibly
Alexander
Callous. Alexander Callous, the rebellion's waiting for you. Oh my God, I'm gonna sing so much Hamilton during Rebels when we get there. No, but what I mean is, I could see maybe Tarkin like before, like when he's still Anakin. I could see once he becomes Vader, it's different.
It's different. It's more like, you know, he just remember, you know, but he has maybe, if he knows who he is, which we've debated both ways.
I think Tarkin is one of the people who knows who Vader. I don't
I think he does too.
I know in canon he knows, or I know in Legends he knows. Does Tarkin know Anakin is Vader? Because I know in Legends he knew who he was. I don't think he knows. Wait, he has to know because he knows about the. I don't know.
It's hard to.
A trip and frustration that makes sense. I don't want to be generous. Like, their virus gone. My friend, are all that left. He's aware of. It's fucking in A New Hope.
Oh.
Darth Vader, he is here. Tarkin, Obi-Wan Kenobi, what makes you think so? Vader, a tremor in the Force. The last time I felt it was in the presence was the presence of my old master.
Yes, of course. I mean, Tarkin probably is still, you know, he's still holding over his. But, you know, I think that just adds a wrinkle to it, that it's, at one point Tarkin sort of had a crush on him, and that was maybe what the author of that story was thinking when he made the Stormtrooper a farm boy.
Maybe. Okay, I will give you that one. I think that's a good possible connection.
Anakin's got those Nazis like that sort of, like, strapping blonde Aryan
white
youth
guy.
Look. Yeah.
That strapping blonde white guy.
Yeah. So there might have been, I don't know if it went both ways, but I think there might have been some subtext with old Tarkin now.
Oh, I think Anakin's about the straightest straight that can straight.
Straight that's ever straighted a straight?
Yeah, like, I would say, like, Obi-Wan would be a little bit more bi before Anakin was bi.
Well, I think once we get to the Darth Vader part, I think there's, zero sexy time at all.
No, that'd be difficult. Because I'm pretty sure he got burned off.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's now just a catheter.
Like, just a trail of water, like, coming out of the bottom of his suit, like one of those bicyclists.
It's like a still suit in Dune or something. But, yeah. I saw somebody posted a picture of Darth Vader sitting on the toilet, and I was thinking, he wouldn't have a toilet. He just has a hose that he hooks up like a camper does, you know, at the campsite, you know, just hooks it up to the wall and it empties it out like a colostomy bag, probably.
Like those girl pee standing things. Have you seen those?
Those
funnels?
The little girl cups for pee standing up.
Bitches, pee for real. If I can go out while camping in the middle of an ice storm and lean my bare ass against a tree while it's being pelted with ice to pee, you can pee. Just go out, get out there, women. You can pee against a tree. It's fine. I did it in an ice storm once.
It's
my ass was
walking
cold.
Around with a dirty pee cup.
Yeah, and then you have to clean it. Just take that squat against the pee, against the tree. You're fine, assholes, lazy assholes.
Did not know that was such a touchy subject, but okay. Noted for the future.
It's not really. Though I do recall having a very detailed conversation with one of my theater professors about those pee cups. It was fun.
We have in back of our restaurant, we have a fenced in area with a dumpster and everything. But there's grass and stuff back there. And one of my coworkers was just desperately, you know, he's like a 36-year-old man, desperately like waiting for someone to get out of the bathroom, and he's just like, oh, I gotta pee so bad, and this person will not get out of the bathroom. I'm like, you're a man. There's a dumpster out there that's fenced in with a patch of grass. And he's like this incredible, you know, it was 9 o'clock in the morning, so maybe nobody was, but he just had this look on his face of just like, oh my God, of course. I could have been out there peeing 10 minutes ago. And he was just like so happy that I reminded him that the whole world was his toilet.
That just reminded me of a joke that will probably not make a lot of people happy.
Oh, I want to write a book called Jokes That Won't Make a Lot of People Happy.
Okay, so in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve are there, and God comes to them. He's like, guys, I have a gift for each of you, and you each get to choose what gift you get. And Adam is just like, oh, me first. I want to pick the gift first. Can I pick the gift first? And he's like, okay, well, here's your first gift, Adam. You get the ability to pee standing up. And Adam is like, yeah. And he just runs around, starts peeing on everything. And he's like marking trees and like peeing on cats and all of this stuff. And God looks at Eve and goes, my gift to you is a brain.
Whoa, zing. Men are
and also,
stupid.
Also, like, once a month you're going to bleed for 5 days and be miserable. It'll be fine.
Yeah, but most men are going to go like, yeah, we're stupid, but we can pee wherever we want to.
You guys have to use a cup to pee and a funnel. So.
There's a widespread problem on the interstates of truck drivers peeing in jugs and tossing them out the window.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Did you have anything else for Act 2?
Nope, that's it. That's why I'm talking about piss jugs.
Oh, just to recap, you liked Whack shooting at shit and taking off.
Yes, I did. I liked him taking... It was good because it sort of... It wasn't the strongest thing, but it did sort of answer to the whole thing in the beginning where I was just like, this is ridiculous that he's just flying right into the ship. That's so stupid, but at least it resolved and he evolved and his, like, being independent and doing that paid off the second time. You know, he didn't do it stupidly.
I mean, even though he, like,
he became more R2-like.
That was an R2 move. He also just didn't know that Gascon was going to stay behind because nobody told him.
But he just decided that he was going to do it. He's just like, all right, here we go, zoom. And it was a nicely timed little gag, too, the way he's just like, nope, blah, blah, blah. And he's just like, well, we're leaving. Vroom.
Yeah. All right. Well,
it was better than slapstick stupidness that usually is the humor on this, I guess.
Well, for my notes, how much do you want to bet that getting the injured droids back to the shuttle was not Gascon's idea?
Yeah.
Though, I have to say, though, maybe it is, because... It took about 4 episodes, but I feel like this is the first time that after the past 3 episodes of doing the same thing, it's finally starting to stick with Gascon just a little bit.
It's hard to tell. It's just a little bit, but a lot of, like, you know.
It's so hard to tell, though, because we don't know.
He takes pride in his work, so he has to, like, he doesn't want to, but when he's forced to, he will rise to the occasion.
And he goes back to it because at the end of the episode when they're like, you're the commander of the D-Squad, like he's upset.
Well, it kind of makes him more of a dick because he does know what the right thing is. He just has to be forced to do the right thing. So it's not like he hasn't figured it out. It's just that he doesn't want to do it. But when it comes down to it, he's like, oh, okay, I have to be commander of this and rally these guys And so maybe at his core he's decent, or at his core he just realizes he has to act decently if he ever wants to get ahead. Either way, he's kind of a turd.
Well, I will totally give him on this one. When they're being shot at, like, he's like, Goldie, let's fly and make a distraction. Like, when shit's hitting the fan and there's danger, that little frog butt does step up.
He's a little cowardly, but when the shit hits a fan, like in an actual battle, he doesn't freeze up and he steps up and does what he's supposed to do, you know?
Yeah.
Which, I mean, you know, personality aside, that's what you're supposed to do in the military. and he does it. And he you know, he also is smart enough to improvise with on plans. So he's deserves
sort
promotion
of.
And he's a good soldier, but he's a dick. You know, as far as a person goes, he's still kind of somebody I wouldn't choose to hang out with. He and Wack kind of deserve each other.
I'm going to give you a sort of on the improvised thing, because when they're surrounded by buzz droids, he did not know what to do.
Right, but the droids did. R2 is a little too much like a military machine in this one. I thought to myself, you know, I'm sure there was a conscious decision not to make the good droids of Star Wars have guns to differentiate from it. I think when they originally did Star Wars, they were just like, robots don't have guns. And in the prequels, they were like, the good robots don't have guns. Bad robots have guns. So that's why R2 doesn't have built-in. I mean, it would make sense. If I were Anakin, I'd be like, hey, buddy, we got an upgrade here. We got blasters on the side of you.
Yeah.
And oh my god, that would improve R2's performance all the way. But like, I was thinking about it, and I don't know if you ever see droids pick up guns.
Chopper and Rebels.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Until recently, Chopper and Rebels,
yeah.
and BB-8 in Last Jedi commandeers one of those walkers and start shooting with it.
I mean, Chopper's a fucking murder machine.
right. But like, yeah, so it's weird. So there would have been a lot of, but R2 was basically just like running around blasting with his blue force lightning. While, you know, he was almost a little too much like a fighting unit.
He didn't do anything we haven't seen him do before.
No, but he did it all at once.
Yeah,
and
but
over
still,
and over
like,
again.
It'd be one thing if it was out of the blue, but, like, we saw him drop oil and set Goldie on fire. We've seen him fight with those little shocky things before. We've seen him use his booster rockets to do the same thing.
Yep,
so
it's he's done in the movie in episode 2 and 3, too.
And it's been done in Clone Wars. So, like, I see your point, and I would agree if this was the first time it was happening. But it's all things that he's done before.
Right. But the thing is, it's like, if R2's such a battling fighter, you know, you should see him do it more before this and after this, where he's flying around. You know, there's a lot of places where it could have come in handy in the movies and in Clone Wars probably after this, where R2 would be just like, I'm going to start flying around and dumping oil and light it up now. You know, he could use that trick a lot.
So my next note is, Farkin, I wish you got exploded, but I know you couldn't get exploded, Farkin.
Yeah, weren't going to happen. Well, that's how, as soon as you see Obi-Wan and Anakin and Farkin on the bridge, you know that
And Mace Windu.
Right, you know the plot is going to be foiled at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they get, like, hop in escape pods or something, but yeah.
They wouldn't.
Nope.
You know, after going through that big old explosion, I realized that R2 probably lost a lot of his memory. And, like, Anakin could probably put a lot of it back in there, but probably not all of it.
I don't know. I think droids like R2 probably have, like, a black box, like, built deep in their core, you know? They have a something in their core that just, like, is like a backup of all their memory. You know, so maybe he lost the last few seconds when he got blown up. But, like, I have a feeling that, like, guys like R2, well, especially since they're astromech droids and they're going to be on the outside of a spaceship and sometimes during battle and in the back of, like, X-Wings and stuff like that, that they should be able to take a lot of... You could basically almost just, like, destroy them as long as you probably don't get... you know, their core that's probably in, like, some sort of space titanium or something like that. That's how I always figured it, because it, you know, basically it's like when they had him down there, you just saw they had racks of new parts that they could just plug back onto him, you know, for different types of robots. So it looks like it happens a lot.
The only reason I bring it up, and please correct me if I'm wrong, because I could be wrong, but in A New Hope, R2 doesn't seem to recognize Obi-Wan.
That's because at the end of episode 3, there's a throwaway line where he and R2 are on the ship, and I think it's Bail Organa's like, oh, and by the way, wipe the memory on both these droids.
Okay, that's what I couldn't remember.
So he got wiped at the end of episode 3.
Okay, That's what I couldn't remember, because I knew somewhere R2's memory got wiped. I couldn't remember exactly where it was.
Yep.
Okay, cool, cool. Thank you, thank you. I just wasn't sure if it was here
no
in this
problem.
moment.
Nope, nope.
Isn't it such a great joy that Gascon gets stuck with Whack forever?
It's like we could have a side sitcom show like The Odd Couple.
I would never watch it, please no.
In like the beginning in Gascon and
I'd rather watch the
Whack
spin-off
are walking
kids
through the
part.
Park and Gascon throws a cigar on the ground and Whack picks it up with, you know, his little poker and like scoldingly looks at him for littering.
I'd rather watch a side show of the little kids before I watch that.
Yeah.
My next note is, hooray, R2 saves the day again because he's the real hero of Star Wars.
He is.
And finally, my final note is, oh my god, thank god, hooray, we're done with this trash arc.
Calais.
And like, while the first two episodes are really bad, at least the last two episodes are relatively solid.
Yeah, no, they were decent. Like, if the first two episodes were a lot better, this would just be a decent, forgettable arc, you know, except for probably Gregor.
Yeah, Gregor was still... Gregor and the explosion in this episode are the two best moments of this show.
Yeah, Gascon and Whack would be memorable, but not favorably memorable.
But that's all I have for Act 3, so you want to wrap it up?
Yeah, I will score this sucker up. I gave it a 7. It's just a decent normal episode of Clone Wars, and it had enough flavoring of all sorts of other stuff besides just Gascon and the droids to make it to make Gascon and Whack bearable, and plus Whack was actually just bearable onto himself now for the most part, and Gascon was maybe about 20-30% of the time, which is pretty good for Gascon. So 7. It's a solidly decent, enjoyable episode. And then that explosion and a couple other visuals in it were very nice and very Star Wars. And a few of the beats were very Star Wars, too. So, yeah.
Give me 1 second. I'm going to work text. Everything. Go. Okay, anyway. So, yeah, for me... this episode's pretty okay. It's, as you said, a mediocre, okay episode of Star Wars. It wasn't last week with Gregor, because God, I love Gregor so much. But it's certainly not as bad as the first two, which are just hot, burning garbage bins. The fights are really good. I really like the buzz droids. And that freaking explosion is amazing.
Yeah.
Love it. And Gascon is sort of... okay, and I'm just so happy he is stuck with Weck for the rest of his life, because that's just what he deserves. So I also gave it a 7 out of 10.
And your description, it sounds like we're pretty much in exact alignment on this one.
Yeah, 7 is my, like, rating for just mediocre episodes, okay episodes, and this is an okay episode. So... well, as always, we would love to hear your feedback on iTunes, Twitter, or on the Two True Freaks Facebook page, especially on iTunes, because when you rate and review the show, it helps people find the show. And this week, our feedback comes from the Two True Freaks Facebook page for our episode, A Test of Strength. Take it away, Chris. They're two little short ones.
They are two little short ones. I'm sorry. The first one comes from Gene, the podcasting machine.
Gene. I'm sorry, I'm so white. Continue.
And Gene says, I know it's a personal quirk. What, Gene, you have personal quirks?
Oh. I would say this is a children's show, but it's not.
Gene, you have personal quirks? But it bugs me that the Ithorian's parents named him after another species. If they wanted a Bith that bad, they could have adopted Winky Face. There's two Winky Faces on there, like a Winky Face emoji and then like an actual text Winky Face. Double Winky Face, Gene. Wow.
Whoa.
Paul C.
One emoji for the cool kids and one old winky face for people like
for
Chris.
The old school, yeah. One represents you, one represents me. Paul C. Kelly says, maybe I've been seeing too much Rebels Hondo. if there is such a thing. But I do not see him killing children, but maybe in his prime he might for the right price. I don't know if he actually would, but I know he would want people to think that he would, at least, at the very least.
I think we talked about it, like, in the course of the episode. Like, this is Hondo in his prime, in his like, probably the height of his pirateness. And I feel like Rebels, he's kind of, like, fallen on hardships. And he doesn't have his crew anymore. And he's just this lonely old man. And he's, like, the fun uncle because he's just older. Kind of like Rex.
The
like,
funkle.
Yeah, and he's a lot like Rex. Like, Rex in Rebels is very different from Rex in Clone Wars. Like, Clone Wars, Rex is, like, always constantly in soldier mode. And while Rex in Rebels is a soldier as well, when we first see him, he's fucking fishing.
Yeah. soldiers like to fish.
Yeah, and but, like, there's just the characters are in two totally completely different parts of their lives.
Yes.
And same thing goes for Hondo. Like, I feel like in this part of his life, like, he's at the height of his pirateness. He has his men to take care of. He has his wealth to take care of.
He has his full and I feel like on.
I feel like the profit of this outweighed his want to kill kids. Because we talked about that in the episode a little bit too, about like how it was kind of weird that Hondo wanted to kill kids, but he's a pirate. He's a pirate. I mean, and he's doing what pirates do.
He's doing his duty, right? Exactly. It's part of the job description.
We have three candies left. Which candy
three.
Do you want?
There's
to
only
do?
Two.
I have
oh, no,
three.
There's three. It just fell out of my box. Okay. Which would you like to do? I was just going to say,
you're
by the
sick,
time Dario did. Hears this, it'll be too late. I'm going to have to send him a message and say, we're down to three weeks worth of candy. So which one are you looking at, Hope?
You're sick. What do you feel like eating?
Well, the one that appears largest, the big red one there, is actually the lightest one.
Because you're sick, do you want to hold off on candy this week?
No, okay. I want to eat everything in the world right now.
So, the Express Wafer?
The Express Wafer by Elvin.
Okay, well, if you don't know what we're doing, Chris hates American Kit Kat like a baby. And so our friend Dario, who is Chris's co-podcaster for Eat It and Beat It, is a flight attendant, and he sends us candy from all over the world to review. So this is the Express Wafer, and it comes from Turkey.
Ooh. And
I
it's
know.
It says
Ottoman candy here.
Hazelnut cream, so I'm wondering if it's going to be sort of like those Ferrero Rocher sort of things. It
I
seems like...
Out that. Holy, I love Islamic script. It is so pretty to me. It's just such a pretty looking language.
It doesn't even look like a language to me. It looks like, you know, pretty decoration from the... Mine's a little smashed up, but it looks sort of like a squared off... It looks like those peanut butter cookies that you used to buy with the pockets in them.
It looks like one of those, like, little peanut butter cookies sitting on top of a bar of chocolate.
Yeah.
How is that?
Oh, it's good.
Holy
it's got a little
shit.
Hazelnut filling inside of it.
Holy shit. That was amazing.
It's sort of like
another one.
It's sort of like a simpler version of the Ferrero Rocher. It doesn't have the liquidy stuff in it, but
Oh my god.
It's the same kind of cookie as those peanut butter cookies, which I love.
Oh my god. It's amazing. Holy shit. I could have like 12 of these, so it's not too sweet, but the wafer's not too dry. It's just enough wafer, like, because the inside the ball is actually like super light.
Well, it's actually partially hollow.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god. Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. Oh man, thank you, Dario.
Yeah, you know what they say, feed a fever and starve a cold. So.
Well. All right. Well, where can people find you, Chris?
I was going to say, it sounded like you had a question for me. You can find me. Sitting atop my podcast throne, eating the chocolate that people send me for free. That's at twotruefreaks.com. And that is where I found most people are subscribing to our RSS feed for our podcast. So that's cool. I'd rather have you doing that than subscribing to our podcast through iTunes. But you can also subscribe to us through iTunes. And you can go to our Facebook page at twotruefreaks.com, where we also post links to our website in each episode as it goes up. And we've got the Two True Freaks Cantina, where you can go and talk nerdy things. Currently, although it's 3 weeks ago, by the time you hear this, there's been a lot of talk about should Princess Leia be played by...
Apparently, that was a rumor. Like, it was proven to be a fake rumor.
Oh, so they never even made the petition. Somebody just, like, floated it out there.
Like, somebody made the petition, but, like, Star Wars was like, no. they were like, Star Wars will always be, like, Leia will always be Carrie. Like, they were like, no, we're not even gonna entertain that idea.
Well, apparently Meryl Streep has said, according to Scott Gardner, reminded me, and I'd forgotten about this, she's talked a little bit of shit about Walt Disney. So yeah. I don't know if she'll be getting, I don't know if the, you know, Disney's going to be really excited about, but not to be a troublemaker, and it's also 3 weeks old, but I wouldn't be opposed to recasting her, because I think this in everything... Pretty much, if you've got a storyline, the storyline is always more important than the people playing the roles. You know?
Yeah.
The song, not the singer. So you could pull it off. It could be done. But, yeah, that's what they're currently chatting about, having conversation very similar to what we're having, but more in depth. You can see that sort of stuff at the Two True Freaks Cantina. And we also have a Twitter page run by the aforementioned Gene, the podcasting machine. Gene, I can do that one. That one's easy. the last one you did earlier in the episode, that's the equivalent of like me trying to do a complicated handshake with somebody younger than me and going just shake my hand. Yeah, where can they find you, Hope?
You can find me at JS and Jedi. I run our Twitter page. I've been a little bit quiet since Rebels has ended.
I'm sorry, I rushed through that just so I could put my face back in this chocolate, man.
But yeah, I run our Twitter account. I've been a little quiet since Rebels ended, so just kind of reblogging things here and there.
A moment of silence.
You can also find me at Hope Mullinex. I run that's my personal Twitter account. I'm also the newsletter for whatthefangirl.com, but we're kind of on a mini hiatus as we're just sort of debating how we want to move forward with the website. And I also write Thrawn fanfiction on AO3, which is short for Archive of Our Own. My name is under Chaos Lydia, and my story is called Forces of Gravity. And I just uploaded chapter 6 today, I uploaded chapter 6 yesterday, and I just wrote... the sex scene today.
Chapter 69.
No, chapter 7.
It's chapter 7, but it's called Order 69.
No, I don't even know what I'm going to name the chapter yet. But yeah, I write Thrawn fan fiction and stuff.
There's got to be a Star Wars fan fiction out there called Order 69. I got to look it up.
But, yep, that's where you can find me and read my trash fan fiction and stuff. Leave me a kudos. Apparently, kudos helps people say that my story is good and comment if you like it because it's fun and I'm enjoying writing it and it's great. So, yeah.
All right. We'll be back next week with a fresh and better arc.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it just goes on and up from here. I'm so excited to be done with this fucking trash art.
Woohoo! Goodbye, trash fire.
Well, I guess until next time, Chris, go get some rest and feel better.
I'll do that. I wish I hadn't drank all that caffeine before the show, but I'll take it easy, I promise.
Well, alright guys, we will see you next week. Oh, remember to stay tuned after the credits for how Chris stole a mattress.
Oh, yeah, well, maybe if I stole a mattress, it ain't as bad as Wesley Crusher killing babies.
Oh.
Yeah, Will Wheaton, still on that. I still see you.
Bye, guys.
Bye. If you shop at Amazon.com, please consider using the link at TwoTrueFreaks.com to shop there. If you use this link to go to Amazon and then you shop, Two True Freaks gets a little cut of what you buy, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So you get to shop as usual and help out the Two True Freaks at the same time.
Visit our website at TwoTrueFreaks.com. Two True Freaks is always spelled TwoTrueFreaks.
You can email Two True Freaks directly at TwoTrueFreaks@gmail.com.
Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks.
Dumbass.
If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.
Two True Freaks has been brought to you today by Damanzo Core of Milan, Italy, and by the letters F and U.
You get a free mattress?
I didn't tell you about that.
Oh, no, you didn't.
And it was just, it was like the universe just disgorged it to me right when I need it. Because I was like, I've been saving money because I'm going to New York City this summer and stuff. And, you know, and I'm just like sort of not spending a lot of money. But I'm thinking to myself, well, I got some money saved up. I need to buy a mattress because I was sleeping on a futon. And my shoulders and my back and my arms were all screwy. And I remember the last time my back went out and I was all screwed up and sleeping on that futon was no fun. I'm like, I should get a real mattress, a brand new mattress, and treat my back well and whatever. But then I started looking into the prices for them, and I was like, holy shit. So one day I'm coming home from work, and we see it's garbage night. It's, you know, the night everybody puts their garbage out. And right outside the house next to me is like a mattress and a box spring. And I look at my ride and I go, it's funny, like years ago I would have been like, oh, I'll snag that mattress out of the garbage, but I won't do it anymore because of bed bugs.
Yeah.
So I was like, it's too bad, that's going to go to waste. And he goes, it looks like it's like shrink-wrapped. And I'm like, what are you talking? So I get out of the car, it's brand new and like shrink-wrapped. Like shrink-wrapped, and then it has like packaging wrap over it.
Uh-huh.
And the same with the box spring under it. And I'm like, well, what the hell? This is brand new. And I'm like, why would somebody be throwing this out? And I'm like, I'll bet you some delivery people were lazy and put it here maybe or something, or I don't know, but it's going to go out with the garbage. So the next morning I woke up and I heard the garbage truck down at the end of the street, and I went out there and it was still there, and I said, you know what, screw this, I'm grabbing this mattress before they haul it off. And I got the mattress, and then the garbage truck came up and grabbed the box spring, and off they went. There wasn't room for, like, I have a bunk bed, and it's like a full size on the bottom. And so I dropped the mattress. If I would have had the box spring on it, I would have had, like, 2 inches clearance of my nose from the top bunk. But, yeah, now I got a brand new mattress. I looked it up on the internet, and it's like a $780 mattress.
Holy crap.
Mm-hmm.
And it was shrink wrap?
It's one of those, it's one of those fancy ones with the individual columns in it, you know?
You stole someone's mattress!
Well, here's the thing. I was thinking about it, and I'm like, well, I had it in the house, and I'm like, all right, you know, I don't want to go and knock on people's door. This is when, after I looked it up, and it was like $780, I'm like, I could just knock on people's door and go, "Hey, was that your mattress or whatever?" And I'm like, "But you know, maybe somebody will put up a sign or something."
Yeah.
And then, like 2 days later, I'm shoveling the front driveway, and a delivery truck pulls up, and it turns out the delivery guys had just dumped all this. This person had ordered all this stuff, and the delivery people just dumped it by the side of the road. But the bed was the only thing left. They dropped off two couches and, like, a table, you know, and all this stuff. And then all the scrappers came along and grabbed all of it. So they had to, like, send her all new. So they came with the truck, and they were bringing in all new stuff.
So she got her stuff anyway?
She got her stuff. Yeah, they replaced her stuff free because they left it by the side of the road and instead of on the. I got to hear the whole story as I was shoveling my driveway. I'm like, I just stopped. And I, like, know the girl sort of because she has a German Shepherd, and the German Shepherd hates my guts, but I always make it, like, sniff my hand and stuff after it barks at me, and she's always like, "Oh, I'm sorry." And I'm like, "Oh, you're getting a whole new living room, it looks like." She's like, "A living room and a bedroom. The last one, they basically dumped in the garbage." And I'm like, "Oh, man." And she's like, "Yeah." I guess they were supposed to deliver it at a certain time when she was home, and they came like 3 hours early, and she wasn't there. So instead of leaving it on the porch, they just left it on the side of the road. When she came home, just the bed was there, and she's like, "I wasn't gonna keep the bed because it was sitting on the ground outside." And I'm like, thinking to myself, "I'll keep it." It's like a new bed.
Wow. I don't know what to say. Like, that was, like, perfect, like, sheer dumb luck.